songs that we sing and the beautiful books that we read were written from that very desk in that room. And on the veranda is where he would often do his bhajan. And from that veranda he looked over the Jalangi, and that's where he saw the beautiful golden light coming from Sri Mayapur Dham. And that is how he discovered the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from this veranda. And also, he envisioned a big, beautiful temple. And he's from this veranda, you'll be seeing, looking over, he had a vision that people from America, from Europe, from Africa, from India, they will all join hands, raise their arms, and chant Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan.
Jai Sachinandan,
Jai Sachinandan.
Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan.
He had the vision that people from all over the world, men and women, would come to praise the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also he envisioned a beautiful temple in that place. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, has fulfilled the dream of Srila Bhaktivinoda, because right in the very spot that he envisioned, people from all over the world are coming together to chant the holy names of Krishna. In the next room over is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's bedroom. Very auspicious. Offer your prayers. It's his disappearance day today. Over here is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda. To the right is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. To the left here is Samadhi of the personal secretary of Thakur Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Also, you'll see within the Samadhi on the side door, there are murtis of Gaur Gadadhar, which were the original personal deities that Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped here. So as you're going through, please keep these things in your hearts. Pray to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur for his kind mercy. And meanwhile, down here we'll be having kirtan, and then we'll have some discussions. Namo bhakti vinodaya satchidananda namane gaur shakti swarupaya rupanu bhagavadaya. We are now at the auspicious and holy home of Sri Thakur Bhakti Vinod. The life of Bhakti Vinod was of the purest and most exemplary nature. There are many grihasthas here today. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has shown, not only by his writings and his beautiful songs, but by his life, how one living in the grihastha ashram can be a perfect Vaishnav, a perfect, compassionate servant of all humanity, and a pure, unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna, immersed in the highest ecstasies of pure love. Thakur Bhaktivinoda had 10 children, a wife, so many responsibilities. He was a government official, a magistrate. And yet, despite all of these apparent worldly attachments, he showed us how everything can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. 24 hours a day, he was immersed in Krishna's loving service through whatever action he performed. I would like to ask several of our devotees to speak something of their appreciations of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. We have one nice god brother, Gaur Shakti. In Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Pranam Mantra, they said Gaur Shakti Swarupaya, that he is the embodiment of Gaur Shakti, the divine love energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Gaur Shakti Prabhu, we would be very grateful if you say a few words of your appreciation of Sri Thakur Bhakti Vinod.
Pioneer for the Krishna consciousness movement in modern times, because he had firm faith in the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this chanting of the Lord's holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should and will go to every town and village of the world. In 1896, he, with this vision in mind, he had written one book, The Life and Teachings, Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and had sent that book to the West to inform the Western world of the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, it's no coincidence, but also in that same year, our beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, also appeared in this world to fulfill that vision of spreading Krishna consciousness in a big way. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Shakti Vinayanai Tarapravartana. Unless one is blessed by the Lord, cannot spread Krishna consciousness. And this blessing, this Gaura Shakti, this Krishna Shakti, this is available to each and every one of us. The lives of the great souls serve as an example, not just a historical example, but a living example to each and every one of us to follow. And it's not something that's unreachable. The mercy, the potency is there for those who want it. The only thing that's separating us from being instrumental in a big way, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like all the great souls, is our lack of desire for it. So, at this holy place, I'm praying simply to pick up that same desire, same intensity of desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and try to carry that spirit into the world. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very, very important in our line because of his broad contribution to Krishna consciousness, his writings, his songs, his life example as being a perfect householder and a perfect devotee, and also his way of rooting out those who were somewhat imposters in the way of trying to imitate either the great devotees or the Lord. There was one such pastime, I think his name was Bhishikashena, who was going throughout India claiming to be an avatar or Sri Krishna himself. And he was gaining a lot of following. And his particular platform was that he was there to rally everyone in India against the British, and he had been an incarnation for that particular movement. So of course he tried to also, he had heard of Bhaktivinod Thakur, and he tried to get Bhaktivinod Thakur to come into his camp because he knew Bhaktivinod Thakur was a very influential magistrate. But Bhaktivinod Thakur understood that this man was simply a cheater, imitating the pastimes of Sri Krishna, just like Pandraka had did when the Supreme Lord was actually present. And so he made all arrangements to have this man arrested. And everyone was warning that, no, no, you shouldn't do this, because this man is very, very powerful. He is actually an incarnation. Many of the sadhus were actually becoming convinced by this imposter. Bhaktivinod Thakur, because he understood the truth of the scriptures, and he could understand that this man was simply acting in a false role. And so he went after him. And despite all the warnings of others who had said, no, no, he's very, very powerful, he'll cause much problems if you do, Bhaktivinod Thakur had him arrested, and he had him put in jail. And while this man was in jail, he was causing great havoc. He actually had this mystic power. And through his mystic power, he was causing great sickness within the family of Bhaktivinod Thakur. His wife was getting sick. Some of his children was getting sick. And people were saying, no, no, you should let him go. He will actually die. But Bhaktivinod Thakur was so determined, despite all the difficulties and havoc this man was creating, to root out this imposter. And so, at one point he understood, yes, this man's power, I think it was someone told him, this man's power is in his hair. So he was in jail, then he had the barber come in and cut his hair. And after he cut his hair, actually, within about a week or so later, he actually died. And this is a very, very deep understanding of the truth of the scriptures, in such a way that we can actually see that he didn't allow any other than pure devotion to exist. And therefore, not only was he a magistrate in a spiritual, in a material sense, but he was also a spiritual magistrate too, rooting out those who are imitating in the Lord Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so his life, his teachings, everything about Bhaktivinod Thakur is so wonderful. And those of us who are in that line should read his works and should try to understand the mood of Bhaktivinod Thakur. Hare Krishna.
Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur saw that of the fallen sinful beings of this Kali Yuga were so difficult to reach them with Krishna consciousness, and that even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission had become so corrupted and polluted by imposters, sahajyas, and materialistic people. He was thinking that only an eternally liberated associate of the Supreme Lord Gauranga could help to establish this mission of Gauranga Mahaprabhu throughout the world. So he prayed very intensely that the Lord send one of his own personal associates to come and assist him in this mission. And it was in Jagannath Puri that his prayer was answered, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada appeared as his illustrious son. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai! Srila Prabhupada used to say that in the transcendental realm, there is really no difference between appearance or disappearance of the great Vaishnavas. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So we should know that the two of them together, their lives are inseparable. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established a new renaissance in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati took the mission of his father as his life and soul, took the seed that Bhaktivinoda Thakur planted, watered it, and distributed those fruits all over India. He started 64 months. He dedicated his life to this principle. And then, of course, through Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada took this message all over the world. It was here in this place that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur lived together, discussing Krishna's Leela, helping to excavate the holy places of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, writing books, discussing and making plans for this great transcendental movement to spread throughout the world. So we should pray here very deeply from the core of our hearts that by the grace of these two great personalities, we can also make our life and soul their divine mission. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
On the right side is his own personal worshipable deities, Sri Gaura Gadadhar. Just here is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. As Dhairam Prabhu was saying, that even the greatest of the sannyasis, babajis and renunciates came to be the students of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Which is the evidence that Krishna Bhakti is beyond any material considerations or any varnashram dharma. Gaura Kishore Das Babaji would come regularly to hear Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur speak the Srimad Bhagavatam here at Godram Dweep. Another special feature of why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur chose this place to live. He wrote one song about Lord Nityananda, how he began his Namhat movement from Surabhi Kunja. He organized a great strategy to spread the holy name of Krishna throughout the world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made his place of residence that place where Sri Nityananda Prabhu began his divine mission of spreading the holy name throughout the world. Rivo.
Jnanantimirandasya Jnananjana chalakaya Chakshurun militam jena Tasmai Sri Guruve namaha.
Can everyone hear? Backside, everyone. This is this island of Navadvip is called Godramdvip. Go means cow, dru means almond tree. I'd like to briefly try to tell the story of how this holy island became known as Godramdvip. At the time of Lord Sri Krishna, you know the story of how the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were just about to perform the Indra Puja. But Krishna, in order to curb the pride of Indra, he convinced the gopas, the Brijvasis, that instead they should worship Giriraj, the Govardhan Hill. Although Indra was a great devotee of the Lord, because he had so much wealth and so much power, he became proud. And Krishna cannot tolerate pride in the heart of his devotee. When the Supreme Lord sees that this pride is disturbing their devotional attitude, by his causeless mercy, he creates a situation to remove that pride, oftentimes by crushing it or smashing it. Trinarapi sunichena tororapi sahishtana amanina manadena kiritaniya sadahari. The most important principle in devotional service is humility. So Indra was very much disturbed when he saw that the Brijabasis were worshipping Govardhan Hill, and he sent the Sambataka clouds to kill Krishna, to kill all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And Krishna effortlessly, in order to protect them, he lifted the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand and utilized it as an umbrella, and called all the Brijabasis, "You come, I will protect you." Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki! Shri Giridhai Maharaj ki! After 7 days and seven nights, Indra could understand that this seven-year-old child was none other than his worshipable Lord. So he came down, but he was very fearful. After all, he had attempted to kill Krishna and all the cows and all the Brijvasis. At that time, Brihaspati, the guru of the devatas, told him that to approach Krishna directly is very difficult. But if you approach through someone he loves, then it becomes very easy. So he approached the Surabhi cow. Then it becomes very easy. So he approached the Surabhi cow. Because Krishna's Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the cows. He is Gopal, he who is always taking great delight in protecting and herding the cows. Surabhi, a cow eating the grasses, but who could supply the fulfillment of anyone's desires. Indra, who was a great and powerful king of heaven, was approaching Mother Cow, begging, "Can you come with me when I approach Krishna?" So when they went to Vrindavan, Surabhi approached Krishna and said that this Indra, he is very ashamed of what he has done. Please be kind upon him. And then Indra was given the open door to come at Krishna's lotus feet and surrender his life and resume his eternal position of being a humble servant. But he was still feeling himself very guilty. And he was thinking that the only real solution to my inner dilemma of guilt is to be forgiven from the offense of my offenses from that supreme, most munificent and merciful form of Krishna, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu gives Krishna prema even to the most offensive. So he, along with Surabhi, came to this place, Godrangweep. At that time there was a big banyan tree, and they sat under this banyan tree and they performed tapasya for a long time, until both Surabhi and Lord Indra had the blessed darshan of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who bestowed upon them the fulfillment of all their desires. At that time Indra left, but Surabhi remained. And it is said that Surabhi is eternally residing here in her spiritual form, worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Markandeya Rishi, it is a long story, but he was given a benediction to live a very long, long life. And he wanted to see the power of Maya. So there was a huge dissolution where all the planets were covered with water. But Navadvip is a completely transcendental land. It is compared, there are 9 islands. Antardvip is considered the whirl, and the 8 islands are considered the 8 petals of a lotus flower, 8-petaled lotus flower. So this lotus flower of Navadvip is never destroyed through any cosmic destruction or dissolution. So as Markandeya Muni was swimming and floating and freezing and being crushed by various waves in this ocean of dissolution, he saw the beautiful lotus of Navadvip floating upon this ocean, transcendental. Just like a lotus flower can be in the most muddy area, but it remains spotless, clean, and pure. And Surabhi saw him. Surabhi arranged to bring Markandeya Rishi to this very place, and she provided him with her divine milk, and in this way he was completely peaceful and well nourished again. All of his strength was returned to him. And Markandeya Rishi also, by the grace of Surabhi, she explained to him the glories of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu also bestowed his causeless mercy upon Markandeya Rishi. So these, as well as so many other wonderful pastimes, took place here in Godrangweep. As we were explaining, the Namahata program, the marketplace of the holy name, was established here by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, he was giving the holy name to everyone. And he said, the only price you have to pay for this most valuable of all commodities is your faith and your willingness to accept the chanting of Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
I think Srila Jayapataka Maharaj would like to speak something, perhaps about the Namahata of Nityananda Prabhu.
Jnanathamarindasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusham Udatam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanto Swami Nityanandane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinoda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Mukakaro tiba chalang phangurla. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip Dham, went to Katwar, which you already visited, took the sannyas ashram. Then he proceeded down to Shantipur and got the request from his mother to remain in Jagannath Puri. So then going through Bengal and Orissa, he went down to Jagannath Puri with Lord Nityananda Prabhu and four or five other devotees. When he reached Jagannath Puri, then just outside of Jagannath Puri, Lord Nityananda broke the sannyas danda of Lord Chaitanya into three parts. He had given the akra danda from Keshav Bharati, so he wanted him to have a tree dandi. Apart from that, he didn't like to see Lord Chaitanya carrying a stick like an ordinary mendicant. What is the need for the Supreme Lord to be a sannyasi for purification? He's already pure. But Lord Chaitanya became angry at him and went ahead to Jagannath Puri temple and so on. So many pastimes happened. Well, during that time, Lord Chaitanya also requested Lord Nityananda to go back to Bengal. That if he leaves Bengal, who would be back here to organize the preaching? So, on the request, and he also told Lord Nityananda to accept the Grihastha Ashram. Since he had taken sannyas, there should be someone who's showing the highest standard of Grihastha Ashram. So Lord Nityananda came back to Bengal and he started to systematically preach Krishna consciousness throughout the Harinam Sankirtan movement throughout the entire Bengal. And it said that the headquarters of his preaching was situated here at the Surabhi Kunj. Surabhi Kunja ki
jai ho!
Surabhi Kunja ki
jai!
Surabhi Kunja ki
jai!
So many times he was chanting here with his devotees. The dust here is filled with the lotus foot dust of Lord Nityananda. You can take a little and put on your head. Sometimes devotees roll in the dust, but now they've put so many gardens and platforms, no more place to roll. Maybe Maharaj can find one.
For you it would be difficult to find.
I used to roll in that corner, but he planted some. Laos. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this was a very favorite place for him. He had a house actually next door here, maybe right where this was, and that's been demolished and God be mercy. So this is a place also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he repeats many times about Surabhi Kunj, the place where one can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Godroom, place of the Surabhi cow, as well as the forests. This is a land of hearing, of chanting. So here there's a lot of kirtan is always going on. You're going to see the place where Lord Chaitanya in this kirtan party were in Amgata, where he planted a mango tree. We're going to see many, it's a place, many kirtans were held. So here's also this principal, one of the principal places of Lord Nityananda's kirtan. Just like Shiva's Angan was very important while Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, this was very important afterwards, because Lord Nityananda was having many kirtans here. And the Namahata movement is that basically every house should be a temple. Every heart should be a temple, actually. The whole chanting of Hare Krishna is to cleanse our consciousness, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, so that we can invite Krishna to come and sit in our heart. The human body, as was previously mentioned, especially meant for self-realization. Moreover, actually it's meant for Krishna realization. The human being can become divine simply by bringing Krishna in the heart. Krishna has already declared in the Bhagavatam that in the heart of his devotee he always resides, and his devotee is always residing in his heart. So by chanting we can cleanse the heart, we can bring Krishna in our heart. So here in the Godram is also, since chanting is Sankirtan, and the Sankirtan movement is for preaching the glories of the Lord, here's where one also gets empowered for preaching the glories of the Lord. It's not enough for the devotees that they get their own liberation, but they want to see that everyone gets, that they get the love of Godhead themselves, but they want to see everyone should get that love for Krishna. Everyone should be flooded with the pure love of Lord Krishna. So for that reason, the devotees chant loudly. Nithai!
Nithai!
Olanda! Nithai! Olanda! Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
So that everyone can hear the holy names, they can be awakened to their eternal loving relationship with Lord Krishna. Sarvi Kunja Ki
Jai,
Nityananda Prabhu Ki
Jai.
So the Lord Nityananda, he established the Namahata that in every village there would be groups of people. Actually, we don't know so much what Bhakti, Lord Nityananda did in detail, but we knew that every village had become flooded with the Harinam. This was reported by Advaita Gosai to Lord Chaitanya. He said everyone has become mad, everyone has become owl, the market is flooded, saturated. In other words, Lord Chaitanya's mission was fulfilled. Everyone had become fixed in chanting the holy names. When Lord Bhaktivinoda Thakur, over about 100 years ago, he re-established that Namhat, and maybe up to 1,000. We have a list of 500, and it could be so many more. Namhat centers were established under his Namhat program. In fact, in Midnapore we saw one temple which was constructed under the Namhat, and it's still standing, it's still a functioning Namhat in Midnapore district. There's like that another Namhat somewhere, so it's still going for 100 years. It helps a lot when there's a temple and the whole village gathers together to maintain that temple. But there are many Namhats that were there that people would gather together, they would chant regularly, they would go out and do different programs. He said they should do Harinam, they should go and visit door to door some people and request them to chant Hare Krishna. He said each devotee should go to 5 people every day. He preached how women can also preach, but they have to be very discreet and chaste in their preaching. And these are all revolutionary concepts for 100 years ago. But he also used different types of music in his preaching. At that time the bowel music was very popular. The bowel was an upper sampradaya movement which was mixing material concept with Krishna consciousness. So then he used the music, but he preached with pure philosophy. So in this way he was able to attract the mind of the people influenced by the bowel culture, but got them back on the right track of Krishna consciousness. So, like this, there are very revolutionary activities done by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this was his headquarters. He had a separate house here for the Namhata program. We are now trying to also, we also re-established again the Namhata, which had, and we've been by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have some degree of success. Every year it's increased. We started off the first year with 45 Namhatas enrolled, and then 150 the next year, then 250, then 450, then 750, then 950. Now it's up to 1800. Now we're trying to get not just quantity but the quality. Last, every year we have a Namhata festival where people from all over India come, who are just involved in the Namhata, all over Eastern India especially. Last year there was 1495 delegates who came, all fired up. So I have seen also this type of preaching going on, you know, with Radhanath Swami in Bombay. I don't see any reason why there couldn't be many Namhatas established in big cities also, in each neighborhood. Wherever there are devotees, they gather together on particular days and chant. Some Namhatas have, in West Bengal and Orissa, have their own gurukuls. Some have their own prasad distribution, even some have various kinds of programs going on. Some are student Namhats, some are all lady Namhats, some are men Namhats. I mean, you know, mostly are all just mixed. Some are young, some are old people. So we have 60,000 villages in West Bengal. So we only have 1,800 centers so far, and that includes Orissa, where we have another 18,000 villages. We are trying to get one in every village. So that we are praying here to Lord Nityananda and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Surabhi Devi, for her blessing and their blessing, so we can go on spreading the Namhata to every town and village, every neighborhood in every town and every village. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare